Let's talk just a little bit about our attitude about money. And I know this is a sensitive subject to a lot of folks, but I'm going to tell you that our attitude about money is important because a lot of problems in life are centered around money, aren't they? They really do. We center around money. The pressure of paying all of our bills. How do we make more of it? How do we get more money? The anxiety over losing what we do have. Did you know that a big part of marital problems can and often do center around money? And Brown University did a study of divorced couples under 30. Brown University. And their study showed that 80% of all divorced couples under 30 said that finances were a major factor in their breakup. 80%. So many people are filled with significant worry and stress over money. And I'm going to tell you this, with that being a fact and being the case, almost every one of us would have a higher quality of life if we could get a better handle on our money and a better handle on our attitude about money. So that's what I'm going to share with you, is your attitude about money. I'm not going to ask you for it. You talk to the Lord about that. But what I'm going to do is share with you what God's word says. Have you ever heard this? Listen, have you ever heard, money is the root of all evil? How many have ever heard that? Almost every one of us have heard that. Did you know that's not in the Bible? It's not in the Bible. That is a misquote of God's word. The Bible does say the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. What? The what? The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It didn't say that the love of money is the root of all evil. It says the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Let me just read that to you. It's in 1 Timothy. This is in the New Testament. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9 through 11. It says, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. Boy, that's a pretty heavy warning about desiring to be rich. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. This is where this quote comes from. For which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So folks, here's the thing. There is a profound difference between money and having money and the love of money. Amen? Are you with me? Look at me. It's okay. We can talk about money. You don't have to be embarrassed. You don't have to look away. There's a profound difference between having money and loving money. You see, money is like a hammer. It's just a tool. It's a tool that keeps us from having to trade our goods or services so that we can just say, okay, I'll get my money for my goods and services, then I can give you the money and you can do what you want to. So it makes things easier for us. It really does. Money can be used to either help or to hurt. It can build or it can destroy. And how we use our money reflects the nature of our heart, God's word says. You might be moving towards the love of money and not just having money if you let a paycheck direct your decisions rather than God. Did you hear me? You might be moving to the love of money if you let a paycheck direct your decisions and not God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him and He will direct your path. You might be moving towards the love of money if you become obsessive about building wealth instead of God's kingdom. You might be letting the love of money rule your life if you've cheated or lied or stolen to acquire wealth. Or if you feel stingy with the money or the possessions that God has given you and blessed you with. You might be moving towards the love of money if you don't give God your tithes and offerings. You might be moving towards the love of money if you pursue security and comfort over God's plan for your life. You see, loving money is a problem for far too many people, including us as Christians. Those of us who say we love the Lord. Folks, it is vital for us to guard against the temptation of loving money. Not having money, but loving money. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 10 says that whoever loves money will never be satisfied. Luke chapter 16, 15 says, no one can serve God and be enslaved to money. Did you know that your personal family budget is actually a theological statement? You went, what? Your personal budget, what you say your money goes to, when you fill out a budget, you say this much goes to food and this much goes to the mortgage and this much goes to this and this much goes to that. Your budget and where it comes out in your budget is a theological statement. Why? Because it indicates who you worship. Or should we say, what you worship. Did you know that Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 gives us a direction? Let's go back to that scripture again. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Honor the Lord with your possession. It tells us to honor the Lord with our possessions. Now, what does that mean? Our possessions. It means our stuff. Not just our money, but our stuff. Everything that we've got. Our wealth. Our time. Our money. Our everything that we have. So how do we do that? Well, first of all, let's start with what the meaning of honor is. Honor means to give due respect. Right? When a judge enters the courtroom, perhaps you've been there, you've been on a jury, or I hope that's how you got in a courtroom. You were just on the jury, right? But if you were in a courtroom, and when the judge enters the room, the bailiff says something. What does he say? All rise. And he introduces the honorable judge, whatever. So when a judge enters the room, the bailiff says, all rise. And the judge is referred to as your honor. Why? Because it is giving due respect to the position. Well, let me ask you, when it comes to your possessions, what is due the Lord? What is due God in order to honor him? What's due God? Everything. Did you know that the book of Malachi, and some of you are going, oh, I just knew he was going to get into Malachi. The book of Malachi says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. That's Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. So what's a tithe? Anybody know what a tithe is? A tithe is 10%. 10% of a person's income. And you may be asking, well, pastor, wait a minute. You're talking about a tithe. And I thought that we were no longer under the law. Did you know you're absolutely right? Did you know that we live in what's called the age of grace? The church age, the age of grace. The grace from whom? God, through his son, Jesus Christ. Because for by grace you have been saved through faith. Not of your 10%. Not of your gifts. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It's a gift of God. It's a what from God? A gift from God. Folks, somebody says, well, I thought we were not under the law anymore. Absolutely true. But my question for you is this. What does that statement from God's word have anything to do with the law? Absolutely nothing. So many people get hung up arguing that we don't have to give what God called for in the Old Testament. Well, he called for it in the New Testament too. He called through it throughout the word of God. So many people get hung up on arguing that they don't have to give God what he asks, that they miss what this verse is saying. Would you listen to Malachi chapter 3, the entire verse 10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Here's my favorite part of that. And test me now. In this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing, that there will not be room enough to contain it all. Amen? There's the promise. Here's the question. Here's a question for you. Is God pouring out on you a blessing that is spilling over? No? Well, let me ask the next question then. Are you honoring God with your possessions? Are you honoring God with what he's given you? So many people argue over a tithe or this or over how much I give or an offering. And they go, that's legalism. It's not required. And they get so worked up as to why they do not have to do what God asks that they lose the promise God made with what he asks. I've heard all the excuses. I've even made them myself. I've heard them all. We're not under the law. No, we're not. We're under grace. Well, I can't afford to tithe. Can I share a testimony with you? Can I share you something very, very personal? I mean, very personal. Brenda and I got married some 42 and a half years ago. And we made a lot of money. Together, we made a little over $900 a month. Seriously, we did not make $1,000 bring home a month. That was in 1981, and that was not that long ago. Less than $1,000 a month. And we decided right from the beginning. And by the way, she made more than twice what I did. I was making $270 a month working at a church part-time, going to Baylor University. And she worked in a school and made $667 a month. I told you, less than $1,000. See, my math's good. We decided from the very beginning that we would trust God. Amen? And we tithed and we gave offerings. And I'm going to tell you this, that God has blessed us for 42 years. There was a time I was in a full-time church after I was still going to school. Man, I just kept going to school. It took me forever to get through. I don't know what that says about my smarts, but Brenda and I were serving in a church, and we had three boys, Dustin, Derek, and Drew. Three boys living at home. And boy, things were tight. And we decided that after our first child, we said, we want Brenda to stay at home, be a stay-at-home mom. So you remember, she made more money than I did. But I got my first full-time job. And I had a man in the church who came to me at one of the business meetings, and he brought the financial statement, and he brought it to me, and he said, "Gary, is this what you really make?" I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Where's the rest of it?" "That's it." I said, "You see right there where it says, you know, insurance and that?" I said, "That's all that." And he goes, "Yeah, but that bottom." He says, "Is there somewhere else in here where you make some money?" I said, "No, sir." He looked at me and said, "What are you living on?" Faith. Faith. I'm going to tell you, folks, Brenda and I, I got to tell you, by the way, it was below the poverty level. I found out at that time, he went and found out that I could have been on food stamps. I didn't know that. I didn't need food stamps. I didn't need to depend on the government. I didn't need to depend on the Lord. So we did. When we got married, we were given a washer and a dryer. I believe it was Hubert Martin who gave us a washer and dryer. That washer and dryer was 25 years old. Hello? We got a refrigerator that was really old. And do you know those things lasted us for over 5 years? 5 years, and they went out one at a time until we could replace them. When we had children, we hardly ever bought clothes. Between people who in the church who gave us gifts, and then my sisters who just kept passing down clothes, and they would bring us these bags of clothes for our boys. I'm so glad they didn't worry about what was, you know, the picture on the shirt. But they had new clothes. Many of them still had the labels in them. I mean, I'm talking about the price tags. What am I saying? I'm saying that from the very beginning, we honored God, and God has taken care of us every step of the way. Has it always been easy? No, but we have been blessed. We have been blessed. We have been blessed. Somebody asked me during that time, "How can you afford to tithe?" You know what I told them? I can't afford not to. Giving God that first 10% or more has made the 90% that was left over go further and further and further than the 100% ever possibly could. That's our testimony of 42 years. And I'm going to tell you, God has greatly blessed us. That's our testimony. Many Christians live as if the Lord the Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord over every aspect of their life except their wealth and except their possessions. Well, here's a bold truth for you, dear friends. If Jesus Christ is not the Lord of your money as well, he's not the Lord of your life. If Jesus is not the Lord of your money, he's not the Lord of your life. If your faith in God does not affect the use of your money, then you cannot truthfully say, Jesus is Lord. Let me ask you, does God care if you go to church? Yeah. Thank you. I love an enthusiastic yes. Thank you, Dieter. Does God care if you go to church? Does he care if you study his word? Does he care if you're faithful to your spouse? Does he care if you're kind? Does he care if you're loving? Then how can we pull one thing out of it and say, oh, God cares about everything else, but not this? We can't say that God cares about every part of our life, but not our possessions. How many verses? 2,350 verses about our possessions and money. God is concerned about our possessions. And he makes a very specific promise. Listen, he makes a very specific promise tied to him and your possessions. Can I make an illustration about this? If you are 14 years of age or under, I want you to pay very close attention. 14, let's go 15. 15 years of age and under, listen very carefully. I want to make an offer. If one of you from your own pocket will bring me a dollar, I'm going to bless you. Right now. Anybody? 14 or under, you've got a dollar and you'll share it with your pastor. I'm not going anywhere until somebody does it. Somebody's going to trust me. 14 or under. Do I need to go up on the time? $1. Here's the offer. Trust me now on this. Your pastor says, if you'll bring me a dollar, I'll bless you. Do I see somebody? There we go. Have we got somebody coming? Okay, I got the first one here. All right. I'm going to need some help. Y'all come on down here. First of all, thank you. Thank you. I said I was going to have to do the first one. And you were the first one, so I'm going to ask you to step up here. But I want y'all to learn the lesson first, okay? Thank you. You can be seated. Right there on the front row. And you see that little gift box right there next to you? Come back up here with it. This is a very worldly example, but it's a good one. Open it up. This gift is yours for the $1. What's in there? $100 bill and candy. I want you to know that came right out of my pocket, not the church's, okay? You were the first one up here. That's yours. You take that, and if you'll go be seated, and I wish I had 100 for every one of you.
Here, grab a candy.
There you go. How about that? Bless your heart. You hang on to that, sweetheart. Now let me ask you a question. Did I make you come up here and get that? Morgan, did I make you come up here and get that? Why did you come up here and offer me that dollar? Why did you offer it?
Because I knew the Lord was watching over me.
You knew the Lord was watching over you. But also, who made an offer? Who made you an offer to bring a dollar and that I bless you? I did. You brought me a dollar. Did I bless you?
Yes, sir.
Okay. $100 in candy, not bad. Not $100 of candy, $100 and candy. Now, why did I do that? Why did I do that? Because I want to just make a statement. I, as a man, as a pastor, as a friend, made an offer that if somebody would do something, that I would give them a blessing. If I, as a man, can keep my word to give a blessing, how much more can and will God give a blessing if you will do what he said? I said, bring me a dollar, I'll return a blessing to you. It might have been just a candy. It might have been something else. But what I do know is this, that when God says, do this and I will bless you, you can depend on it. Look at the scripture with me again. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. He says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So he says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of your increase. With the what? First fruits. Now, what does that mean? It means that God's not asking for just any 10%. God's not asking for just any gift. God's not asking for you to give just any part of your possession. He asked for the first part of it. That's what it says. Now, a lot of people think, I'm just going to pay the bills and anything else that comes up. And then if I have anything left over, I do love the Lord. I want to give something to God. I'll give that to the Lord. You want me to tell you something? It never works. Have you ever said, one of these days, when I get to the point where I can, I'm going to do more. I'm going to give to God. But I'm going to tell you, it seldom ever works. You know why? First of all, because that's not what God asks for. Do you know that Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, I want to use some New Testament scripture here. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things that you need will be added to you. Folks, we are commanded to put God first in our life. Do you remember last week we talked about Cain? Anybody here last week? We talked about Cain. Do you remember what Cain did? He made an offering to God, and did God accept it? No. Why not? Because it wasn't what God asked for. God wanted a blood offering. And Cain said, I'm just going to give him what I've got, and I'm going to give him what I have, and that's just going to be good enough. Well, the scripture says that Cain said, I'm just going to give him what I want to give. And the Bible says that Cain's heart belonged to the evil one. Do you remember the story of Elijah and the widow of Zarephath? 1 Kings chapter 17. I love this story. There was a terrible drought in the land, and even God's children were going hungry. And the prophet Elijah was hungry, and God said, get up and go to Zarephath. I've commanded a widow there to provide for you. Not a rich person, not a big family, not someone with a lot of sons who's going to have a lot of land to take care of you. He said, I've commanded a widow to take care of you. And Elijah went to this town, found a poor widow who had a son, and he told the widow, the Lord showed him, this is the person that I've got for you. And he told this poor widow, he said, I want some bread. And she said, all I have is a handful of flour and a little bit of oil. And I was going to go home and make that for me and my son, and then we were going to die of starvation. And he said, well, he said, if you'll go first and make me a cake, a pone of bread out of this oil and the flour, then I promise you this. Your flour and your oil will not run out. You know what she did? Let me ask you first, how could she have responded? I don't want to say it out loud either. You what? Really? But how did she respond? She responded in faith and in obedience. She could have said, who do you think you are? But she was obedient to the word of the Lord because God had prepared her heart. And she honored God and she honored the prophet with her first fruits. And God honored his promise to her for a long, long time. Her flour and her oil did not run out for a long time. That's all we know. We don't know how long. Maybe the rest of her life. We don't know. So what am I getting to? Don't forget the promise. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 3. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Folks, don't concentrate on what you think you want to you have to give up? Why don't you concentrate on being obedient to God and the blessings he wants to give us? How we use our money determines a very real spiritual blessing. Listen to this. Please listen. God never said, if you will give me 10%, or if you will give me offerings, or if you will give me this or that, I will give you salvation. He never said that. Are you listening? That's not what he said. He didn't say that if you will give me, then I will give you salvation. Listen, he saved you because he loves you. Amen? And he doesn't say, now give me back of your possessions because I require it of you. He says, I want you to test me in this. He said, I want you to try me. Just see if it won't work. He said, you bring what I've asked for and see if I will not bless you to the point it spills over into your life. That's what he said. You are not required by God's law to give back to him your money. Not for salvation. Nor even do you have to give him the first fruits for you to be saved. But his word tells us that if we love him, what? If we love him, we'll be obedient to him. And if we're obedient to him, he will bless. And as with all obedience to a truly loving father, you will miss a great blessing if you don't. That's God's word. I wonder how many people have forgotten the promise. They get so hung up on, well, I can't afford it, or we're not under the law, or I don't have it, or I don't want to, whatever the excuse is. But I wonder how many people have forgotten the promise. Honor God with your possessions and the first fruits of your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Let's just end with that one. Trust in the Lord with what? And do not lean unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he'll direct your path. Listen, how many times have we thought, I have to hang on to this because this is all I've got. I have to hang on to this because I don't have much. Or I have to hang on to this for my future security. Or I have to hang on to this because I want this or I want that or I want... Listen, when is it going to come down to the point that we actually listen to God, trust God, and he says, if you will do this, then I will do this. Folks, God's if-then statements are a promise from God. If you will, then I will. Honor the Lord with your possessions. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. Because our own understanding says, man, I better hang on to it, right? You want a blessing from the Lord? Be obedient to the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we were reminded at the very beginning of this sermon that everything we have and everything we are belongs to you. We're just a steward of it. We're just the ones who are in charge of it while we're here. God, would you help us to be obedient to your word, to trust your promise, and to test you in this. God, I pray that we would be more caught up with the promise than we are with the law. Help us, Father, to be obedient to you. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to ask you, where in your life have you held back from God? Your love of him? Are you loving him with all your heart? Are you serving him with all your possessions? Are you honoring him with your gifts to him? How in the world would you, as a mama or a daddy, pour out blessings to a child who is disobedient? Would you honor the Lord in a prayer right now to say, God, I want to be obedient. Help me to serve you fully, wholly, all my life. Would you give it to the Lord? Your heart, your life. God wants to bless you. He truly does.